It's my turn again this month.
Good evening, everybody. We don't have a clock on the wall, but it is 6 o'clock. And if you would all please take your seats and kindly turn your cell phones off or put them on vibration, we would appreciate that. And give you a couple seconds to do that, and we'll open up our meeting. Good evening. We would like to open up the Tuesday, September 25th City Council meeting for the City of Atascadero.
Here. Councilmember Clay.
Yes.
Councilmember Sturtevant.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley.
Here.
Mayor Kelly.
Here.
All present.
Next on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. The agenda will be modified. There will be no closed session for the City Council at the end of the City Council meeting. Could I have a motion for that, please?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Sturtevant?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Kelly?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Fine, thank you. Now, this evening, we have a few more presentations to present. Is Jeff English? Jeff, would you want to come forward, please? Oh, yes, it is. You're not getting away that easy. I think the city, not only the city council, I think every employee in the city, all of our department heads, in fact, every citizen of Atascadero wants to thank you for the 23 years of service that you have provided the city of Atascadero. It appears that you're everywhere, doing everything, and you're one of our prize employees. And I know you have the opportunity to move on, and we wish you the best in your future. And we truly want to thank you for the services that you have done for the city. And in recognition, we have a little plaque for you here that's presented with sincere gratitude and appreciation to Jeff English. In recognition of 23 years of exceptional service to the citizens and staff of the city of Atascadero, we want to thank you very much. And Steve, could you get us a picture of this, please?
Well, thank you very much. I'm not the type of person that likes to be in the limelight and especially take recognition. I really should be thanking the city and the city council for putting up with me for 23 years and providing me with a great place to work. I did get another job. I'm going to be working in a position for the city of Arroyo Grande starting next week, and I'm excited about the new challenge. But it's with a lot of mixed emotions that I'm leaving. I have a family here that I've really grown to love and care for, and they care for me. It's difficult to Atascadero. I really have been privileged to serve the citizens of Atascadero. Just every time I turn around, there's somebody who acknowledges our hard work and what we do, and the residents are wonderful, and I appreciate one and every one of them. And then Wade McKinney, I wanted to thank you personally. Your leadership, your guidance of this organization through rough waters and keeping us on even keel has been tremendous. And you've been a huge supporter of me, and I know that, and I appreciate that, and I thank you very much. And then finally, my wife, Celeste, thank you for putting up with long hours and weekends and what have you. So it's sad to leave Atascadero, and I am privileged to have this as really the majority of my career, and I will always look back fondly on Atascadero. Thank you.
It's a long walk back there, folks.
While the mayor is going forward, I do want to give my personal thanks to Jeff and his family. I know all the councils greatly appreciated your work, Jeff, over the years. And you've done a lot of stuff behind the scenes, and we'll be talking about that at your barbecue tomorrow. So,
yeah, I'd just like to say the same thing, Jeff. You know, you're a positive young
man. Heather gave me a call and says, we'll do anything we can for you guys at the Atascadero News as far as advertising and what have you, at no charge. And I think that was part of making this event very, very successful. And Heather, we really want to thank you because you were really a part of the success of the 4th of July.
I don't shake hands.
Oh, okay.
Well, then, there you go.
Okay.
Excuse me. Yeah, we want to get a picture here because we have a newspaper that likes to put these things on the front page. When we do well.
Thank you so much. Anyway, like I said before, you know, like 4 months before the 4th of July, we didn't have $1. We didn't have a lot of support, and all of a sudden the support came, and we got a few bucks here and there, and we had a successful event. And I went to Frank Rankby, and I said, you know, Frank, we're trying to keep people in Atascadero on the 4th of July. So that's a good idea. I said, how about a free movie? He said, wait a minute, you know, I like to make a little money too. And I said, well, that's okay. But anyway, he agreed to run a free movie. And then I talked to Rita and I kind of got two movies. So they had what was it? I know they did E.T. and what was the other one, Bob? Wizard of Oz, yeah. So anyway, we have a certificate here for Frank. He's out of town, but Rita, would you step up and, you know, please, we'd like to give this to you. And the other thing is, the Galaxy Theater's been such a great partner in our community, and they have such a great theater. And they're so positive, and they try to do everything right for the folks. So we really appreciate them.
Thank you, Rita.
Yeah, you bet. Right.
And once again, Rita didn't want to get up and speak, but the Galaxy Theater is back on their Tuesday night special for $5, so that's a heck of a bargain, and the only problem is it makes us walk from a far away parking space to come to the city council meetings, but that's okay.
You got the rest of them?
Right, yeah.
Jeff, would you want to?
Yeah, I'll take care of the rest of them.
this is what I prefer to do, recognizing others. I volunteer to do that. And our staff are short-staffed. We're challenged with our ability to get things done, and we're fortunate to have folks like Rick step up. He's the big honcho at his business, yet he gets on the mower and goes and mows that because he likes to do that. So we appreciate that. Rick has helped out with our skate park effort over the years and tree planting projects and landscaping projects, was on our Park and Rec Commission. So just many, many volunteer opportunities, efforts for Rick. And on behalf of the City Council and the staff, we thank you.
Thank you.
Would Rick want to say a few words?
Yeah, I'm. Thank you. Thank you so much. I go over and mow the lawn, and the phone doesn't get to me for about 45 minutes. That's not too tough a duty, and it's the least I can do. That is one of those projects. It came through here when I was on the Parks and Rec Commission, and it, you know, like anything. I substantial in Atascadero, it came with its own controversies and public interest and a whole lot of community support. I caught the fever of that myself. I was proud to help the Veterans Memorial with some landscaping work, and saw what a great dedicated group was spearheading that. The community support was inspiring. I remember sitting where you guys are right now, and listening to testimony of people that wanted to see it. And one guy who had gotten back from his second deployment in Iraq and was waiting to ship back for a third, speaking on behalf of the project. And I got to say that's the thing that sticks with me, and how to honor service like that. The fear in the guy's eyes was for real, and yet he was doing it. And it just kind of reminds you of the profound service that people give. So mowing the lawn, come on, that's really not much. But I really appreciate this, and of course, and then. For Jeff to be leaving, I don't know how you guys could allow that to happen. Couldn't go through, and they set up all the skate ramps there. Everyone brought from their backyards. And who was out there skating the ramps?
Jeff.
He put on a helmet, but Jeff English was one of the skaters on one of those events. And that's the kind of guy. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you, Rick. We really appreciate what you do. And if you need any more time off your telephone, we got about another 25 acres of grass in town. any time. We have one more certificate of appreciation for Steve Martin. Steve, would you like to come up? And Larry, you want to come up at this time? Steve is kind of the unsung hero, the man behind the scenes. He was very instrumental in the 4th of July celebration. And he's kind of been the backbone or kingpin over there at the Main Street. And I think your contract is about up. And
just about up.
I think you have aspirations of moving up to bigger, and I would hope better things. I hope you make them better. But we on the City Council and the City, we certainly want to thank you, Steve, for all the time that you put in promoting Atascadero. I think even though you live in Paso Robles, I'd have to say your heart's in Atascadero. And we really appreciate it. And we wish you the best of
thank
luck,
you.
And thank you so much.
I appreciate it.
And I think, Larry, did you have...
I'd like to thank the council for giving us this opportunity. I know I speak for the present board, and I probably speak for past boards when we say thank you to Steve for his director of the Atascadero Main Street, as executive director, I'm sorry, his guidance, his leadership, and his, in an environment of an ever-changing board. Him being there just gave us stability and a consistency to the program, and that we deeply appreciate it. So on behalf of the Board of Directors of 2012, we want to say thank you, and we appreciate you a lot, Steve.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Steve. All right,
let's go on up.
Oh, there you go.
Well, let's get the city council up here, too. Let's move over here.
Okay.
I don't want to take up a lot of people's time tonight, but September 15th was 10 years that I started working in Atascadero with the Main Street, and it literally seems like yesterday. Atascadero is a lot different today than it was 10 years ago. I remember the first day that I showed up for work, I decided to go downtown and meet all the merchants, and the first three doors I tried were locked. But that's not the case anymore. We have stores that are open, we have art galleries, we have wine tasting, we have spas, and we have a busy downtown, and the change has been nothing short of miraculous. I want to recognize the city of Atascadero and the many councils that I've worked with over the years for doing that downtown revitalization plan and sticking with it. That was a 10-year plan that through changing councils, changing philosophies, was never changed. And the things that have been accomplished downtown, the median plantings, the sidewalks, the street lights, the renovation of the park, the bridge, Galaxy Theaters and Colony Square, the change has been truly miraculous over the last 10 years. And I have to say that at least over the last 3 years, I very seldom hear the words Atascadero or mud hole anymore. And that's just fine with me. I grew up here. Part of my heart will always be here. So I thank the council. I thank the city staff for always being there with the assistance that I needed and Main Street needed, whether it was Sweetheart Stroll or throwing 15,000 plastic Easter eggs out in the sunken gardens or building up Winter Wonderland, which, by the way, is coming up December the 7th. To all the boards that I've worked with over the years, I give thanks, even to those that were quite contentious because we had those years. But every single person that worked on the board of directors for Atascadero Main Street had the best at heart for downtown Atascadero, and that's why they were so passionate about it. And truly, I can say I'm going to miss it. So thanks, Atascadero, for letting me be a part of it for 10 years. And Wade, if you need any press releases, you know where to find me. So thank you.
Very good. And I would like to say, Steve, of course, Roberta and I have known you since elementary school. Many folks don't know you're a former mayor and council member in Paso Robles. Way back, council's accomplishing pretty much everything on our list of goals for Main Street in terms of infrastructure and getting things established and started in our downtown. And I certainly attribute much of that to your hard work. And I know you've been a real encouragement to Main Street businesses, and you've basically helped them to come of their own. And we've got some strong leadership in Main Street now. We have some good hands to hand off to, and I give you a lot of that credit. So thank you, Steve Martin.
Hey, I'd like to say, you know, a similar thing. We had all these directors of Main Street, one right after another. It was like revolving chairs, and Steve come along and really put some stability into our Main Street program. So I want to thank you for that, Steve. The other thing is, on the 4th of July situation that we did, that wasn't part of his job. He came and helped us and kept us going in the right direction, and he did that all on his own. So thanks again, Steve, and good luck up there in Paso Robles.
Thank you. Thank you. Next, we have a proclamation for Energy Awareness Month. And Rebecca, are you Rebecca? Can you come over here? And I think Cheryl Cochran. Is Cheryl here tonight?
No, I'm giving it for her.
Oh, okay, great. Well, the city of Atascadero, we want to recognize PG&E.
Hey, Bob, you need to use the mic. So.
Okay, thank you. The city of Atascadero wants to recognize PG&E in all of the other components within the county as far as saving energy. PG&E has been very active here in the city helping us monitor our business and pulling audits, and I think we've had a significant savings in our energy bills, and we just want to commend you for the efforts that you folks put forward, and we hope that the everybody in town is they can go to PG&E and they'll actually come out and help you save money. And I think we're all becoming more and more aware of the environment, and we need to be aware of these things and get all the help we can, and we certainly want to thank you for your efforts.
Thank you so much. Well, thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Council members. My name is Rebecca Weber, and I work in the PG&E Energy Solutions and Service Department. We'd like to congratulate the City of Atascadero on the energy savings that you've already achieved through many of your city projects. I know Jeff was a major reason why a lot of those projects came to fruition. Thank you, Jeff. We also, as a resident of Atascadero, I'm very proud and thoroughly impressed by those numbers. As part of the local version of the National Energy Awareness Month, the San Luis Obispo County Energy Watch Partnership, along with the agency, other agencies and nonprofit organizations, has organized energy events for the community throughout the month of October. More information can be found at www.usgbcc4.org/energy2012. Thank you so much for your time.
I think we have one more proclamation, then we'll take two pictures at one time instead of back and forth. The next proclamation is for Fire Prevention Week. And why don't all you guys come up? You guys do a great job. We're very lucky here in Atascadero because we have fire prevention 365 days out of the year. Our fire department with their weed abatement program, I think we had great compliance this year. I think we had, only 55 lots that needed to be addressed on that, and it's getting better and better every year. These guys are doing a great job, and, you know, the community needs to get involved. If you have, you know, any problems, the fire department will come out there. I'm sure you guys will check smoke alarms and carbon monoxide warning devices and what have you. And don't just let October 7th to the 13th be Fire Prevention Week. We want to do it every day of the year, and we want to commend you guys for the great job that you do for us. Thank you. Take a picture. Kurt, you're the leader. Come on up here. Without you. Wait a second. I got four friends over here. We'll move over.
You might have four friends, if you remember. Come around.
We certainly want to thank all of these people for their volunteerism and the efforts that they put forth to make Atascadero the great community that we are. Next on the agenda is the consent calendar. All items on the...
pardon me? Okay, oh, I'm sorry. We have some more. Who's going to make that presentation? Okay. Yeah, the Bocce Ball folks, are they here? I believe they wanted to make a presentation. Excuse me, I didn't know we had more on the deal.
Hi, I'm Ron Vasconcelos, and I'm a board member of North County Adaptive Sports and Rec Program. I'd also like to bring Jim Edwards up here, who's also a board member and our head coach. Most of you are probably aware of the Bocce Project, and there's some slides up there. There's some hard photos, and I'm not going to walk you through all those because it would bore you. But I think looking at the photos, as we say a few words of recognition, you'll see it was a big project, and it was even bigger than I thought. I tend to be an optimistic person, and when we approached the city for permission to do this, and they welcomed us to do it, I had to deliver. And so I approached a number of donors, including Cal Poly, and Granite Construction, Cal Portland, Miners Ace Hardware, and a number of other smaller donors, and they all conceded. And it was pretty much because they saw the partnership of the city, the university, and our program, and what the program represented. And so I want to thank the city for allowing us to do this, and of course we want to thank the donors. As you look through the photos, you can see that it took MECAP accessible bocce courts, and indeed they are. And so, in fact, at our dedication ceremony, which we had a few weeks ago, we did that because we wanted to get the athletes out there and playing before the time change. We had a speaker, Brent Poppin, who is a participant in the Paralympics in 2004 and 2008. And he came to speak with us, and we're hoping to get him on our board. And his comment was, the city and the volunteers and all the donors did a wonderful job. They designed it to be inclusive from the get-go. This wasn't something we did and then later figure out how can we get handicapped people there and kind of construct some ramps here and there. And so I'm hoping that most of you have been out there. If not, I encourage you to go out there and look. Because it's truly inviting, and they're professional courts, and I think Jim can speak to us that the athletes thoroughly enjoy them, and hopefully there's a few photos you can see. I won't speak to all the photos, but in there we had, like I say, Granite and Cal Poly students, and a lot of hours. We also had community volunteers. Jim Edwards, for one, put a lot of hours. Richard Conti, one of our parents, and some of the other community volunteers from either churches. We also had good support from the city itself. And so Jeff, I lost him. Jeff pretty much worked with us and helped us, gave us advice, and his whole team supported us. Tom Jameson comes to mind for those who know us, and we loved working with him, and he provided the maintenance yard when we needed to store things and or move our equipment. Some last things I really want to say is that I believe the bocce courts will be used for a long time. I think, actually, the bocce courts, besides providing fun for our athletes, for hopefully families, I think it'll be a venue for the city to have fundraisers, to raise money for other initiatives, either for the park or else or other parks. So we'd like to thank the Parks and Recs for giving us the opportunity for working with us. The other thing I want to say is, you may not be aware, but Brady Cherry and Jennifer Fanning have really worked hard to incorporate our sports program. So we play for about an hour and a half every week, and they fit us in their schedule around other programs. And it's very important because we serve about approximately 60 special needs athletes. Speaking here is, I'm a member of a number of other nonprofits. One of them is AFA, Access for All. And it's a foundation in San Luis Obispo County. And this year, I think you should all be aware, but if not, they recognized Brady Cherry and Atascadero Parks and Rec for what they had done to help us with our special needs program, to make, you know, the world and an area accessible for people of special needs. And so Brady received the Paul Wolf Accessibility Award. So hopefully you're aware of that. More importantly, when I've been attending meetings, I've been speaking about this, they were quite excited about what we've done. And so they're going to be publishing a newsletter, and they're going to be acknowledging the work of this set of donors and the team and what it's done for the special needs community. So I thank you for allowing us to do this, and I'm really excited because it represents a partnership of the community, the university. We have university students come out and work with us every week. So it really is leverage. And last, when we were doing this, there was another foundation saw what we were doing, and so they came over there, and of course we were kind of tight on money, so we were able to buy the maintenance equipment to roll out the oyster shell and that stuff, but we were also able to purchase two of the shade sails. So really, this partnership and what it's doing for the special needs community is kind of has a synergy, and it was exciting for me to see by just asking a few people for help and what they were able to accomplish. And so I thank you for the opportunity, and I hope the city is proud of this, because this is probably the only truly handicapped set of courts in the county. And yes, Turlock in California, where I was born, has been inquiring, and another one from Wisconsin. So this is actually a landmark, but the city should be proud for giving us the opportunity and for their truly ADA bocce courts. So thank you.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, first off, I like, you know, I was out there and tried to do a little of that myself. But that thing will be here 100 years from now. I mean, you built this thing. I mean, it was unbelievable. But I bet you that 90% of the people don't know what bocce ball is. Why don't you just briefly tell them about the little white ball that goes in the middle and so on. It's pretty interesting.
I'm going to let Jim do it, because Jim has put as many hours as I have, and his heritage is... has the history of that ball.
Okay, the bocce ball is, the little white ball is a palina, points at one time, and the games go up to 15. So, and of course, our other partner over there, on the other side of our course over there, is the Pratonk group from Atascadero, the city workers, and that's the French version of bocce ball.
So you're gonna build another court, a different...
No. The court that the Pratonk plays on, it's just the piece of land out there that we share with them, and because they randomly throw the ball into different things where we play on a court.
Okay, I see. Yeah, you guys did an amazing job. You got to be very proud of what you did. It's a beautiful facility, and like I say, it's built. It'll be there forever.
Thank you.
We on the city council, and I think everybody in the city is very proud of your efforts, and we want to thank you and your volunteers for what you did, not only the construction of the court, but the programs that you have for the disabled people that go along with it. Sometimes they're forgotten, and it's a real pleasure to see somebody step up and address that. I was unable to be there for the ribbon cutting, but Tom was. Tom, would you like to add a comment?
Well, as we've often said, so many things in Atascadero are done with this kind of volunteer effort, and it was very impressive to us to see so many sponsors step forward. But, you know, as I say, I've been out there playing a couple of times, and supposedly these folks have some disabilities, but they've beat us every time. So I think that's the point of being inclusive, is the whole community really participates equally on this field, the way it is designed. And so I think that is a very good thing for our community. So thank you.
It was a humbling experience for me too, Tom.
Yeah, well, I beat you. That was no surprise, but everybody beat us.
Yeah, they did. Everybody beat us. It was a lot of fun, though, and it was very rewarding to see all the smiles on the faces out there. It was a wonderful ceremony you had. The ribbon cutting was enjoyed by all. I really appreciate what you've done. It's a great thing that you've done.
Quality, quality, quality.
Right. Yes, I wasn't able to make it myself, but what I've heard of it, and just for the ADA and for the accessibility and for getting people being able to get out there and be included and just having the ability to be able to get into a sport and be able to enjoy. Thank you so much for doing that. And just thank you for everyone who was involved, the volunteers, the people that donated money. Just, it's a great community effort, and thank you so much for that.
Once again, thank you. The next presentation will be by Tina Metzger.
Symposium in Atascadero, the Atascadero Symposium, which will take place during October 18th through the 20th. Atascadero was chosen for the Conference of California Historical Society's 2012 October Symposium to celebrate the Atascadero Historical Society's kickoff of the city's centennial celebration. Members of historical societies and museums from around the state of California will be attending the symposium and staying in Atascadero at the Carlton Hotel. Symposium events will begin on Thursday, October 18th, with a Welcome to Atascadero party and short historical movies about E.G. Lewis at the Galaxy Theater. On Friday, October 19th, symposium attendees will experience the creation of Tent City and tour the Atascadero Historical Society Museum. At lunch, author Lon Allen will make a presentation on the history of Atascadero and its founder, E.G. Lewis. Also on Friday, project manager Don Huff and architect Stephanie Kingsnorth will give a talk on the restoration process of the city's administration building. Peggy and Tom O'Malley have graciously provided their beautiful home and carriage house for our symposium dinner event on Friday evening. On Saturday, October 20th, the symposium attendees will travel to the Templeton Historical Museum, Paso Robles Pioneer Museum, and the San Miguel Rios Caledonia Adobe for historical events, tours, speakers such as Frank Meekum at lunch, and plus a concert and lecture with John Warren, and finally a barbecue dinner at the Mission San Miguel with Dr. Dan Krieger giving a talk. The Atascadero Historical Society President Jim Wilkins, the Vice President Tom Lewis, and Tom O'Malley all have been extremely helpful and generous in helping to create the Atascadero Symposium. Everyone has been great to work with in planning the symposium. The symposium will be a great opportunity to share with history lovers from around the state the beauty of Atascadero and its rich history. Thank you. And then we end on Saturday evening with a dinner at the Mission San Miguel.
Right.
And
a lot in between.
A lot in between. I just covered kind of the basics, but it should be a great symposium.
And is the public welcome?
The public is welcome. The best thing to do would be to go to the Conference of California Historical Society's website to view the schedule of events, and then there's a registration form. You're able to go. If you can't attend the whole symposium, you can attend on Friday only or on Saturday only. The website is at CaliforniaHistorian.com, and all the
thank you, Marcia or Wade. Maybe we could get that on our webpage, that information. And Heather, maybe we could get another freebie on that one. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tina.
Next, we have an update on the Lake Park Bandstand construction by the Atascadero Kiwanis, Lon Allen and Mark Dietz. And I believe there's some other members of the Kiwanis Club that are here this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, City Council. Delighted to give this report because this is a big day. I understand that we received our building permit today, and that means we're ready to start digging holes in the ground and building a new bandstand. This project started out 2 years ago as a three-year project, 2 years to raise the money, and then we would build it in the last year after the last concert in the park and have a new bandstand in place by when the concerts start next June. The bandstand has not been scheduled to be dedicated until the city's week-long centennial celebration. It'll be on a Sunday of Colony Days in 2013, but this is going to be the Atascadero Kiwanis Club's gift to the Atascadero's 100th birthday. I'm delighted to say that Mark DeRees, about 100 feet away. The project got off to a very energetic start with a very, very generous donation from the Atascadero Rotary Club of $10,000. Kiwanis quickly put in its own $10,000, and I'm happy to say after 2 years, two major winemaker fundraisers, we have about $115,000 to build this project, and we hope that that's enough. We tried to be careful in our estimates, and I think we'll do it. Mark would know that better than I, but I'm delighted. Go to that second slide, Jim. Side view, you can see a little bit more. It looks like a shiplap type of siding, railings, the river rock, the little eyebrow dormer. I guess it's more like a dormer. I shouldn't be saying these things. You're probably cringing, aren't you, Mark? Little doodads. You know, it drives architects crazy. Just design some little doodads. But the footprint is exactly the same that's out there right now. We will not disturb that concrete with the exception of one small intrusion on the front side. We don't know what the status of that concrete is. That is that the original slab grew out of the bandstand that was put out there in 1915. The Atascadero Kiwanis Club, over the past 40 years, has put a new roof on that building. We, about 6 years ago, almost doubled the concrete area. But so our plans call for trenching around the outside of that and our footings that hold up the trusses and hold up the rest of the building will be on solid ground and the way they're supposed to be. I would like to mention, as part of the fundraising efforts, we had two mayor's winemaker dinners. Those were held at the Lake Pavilion, and I appreciate the effort of the current mayors and the past mayors who helped us with that celebration and for their attending and also their financial support in making donations. And donations keep coming. And I'm sorry the young lady from PG&E left a little early, but I just got a call 2 weeks ago from PG&E, and they want to donate another $6,500 to that project in order to encourage an efficient lighting system. And Mark is now pursuing, an energy efficient lighting system or LED lighting or whatever it takes to make the that out for weddings, small theatrical productions, perhaps Mozart festival performances in there. And as I say, we hope to start construction real soon. That's almost the next step because we have the money and we have a building permit. So, Mark, we've run out of excuses not to do anything. Other major donations in addition to the Rotary and PG&E, I should mention last year PG&E also gave us $5,000. Gas company gave us $1,000. And we've had donations from $5 and $10, $500, as I say, up to the $10,000 mark. And Home Depot wants to demolish the old bandstand as a community project. And we are working with them right now to pick a weekend or whenever they want to get out there and do that. They have volunteered as their donation to the project to demolish the bandstand and haul the debris away. So, as you can see, this has a lot of public support, just like everything else that happens in Atascadero, whether it's the building memorial field back in the 40s, or I wish some of you could have seen all the equipment out on the Paloma Creek Park. There were probably $2 million in tractor equipment out there, absolutely free that whole day as they turned that into a regional park. Mark, is there anything that you want to add or say? I did that badly, huh?
No, you did fine. Well, I actually did just receive this about 15 minutes before the meeting started. So the permit, we do have, we're ready to go. Kiwanis really, I can't thank them enough for all the effort that everybody else has put into this. I told Lon, I had the easy part, the design and the drawings and whatnot. Raising the money was such a huge task, and Lon deserves a ton of credit for that. It's just amazing what the Kiwanis group was able to do and how much we were able to raise. One of my things I had to deal with when designing a building, a house, whatever it might be, is you get to a point and it's finished, and then you always have to scale it back because you don't have enough money. I think we're going to have plenty to do this thing exactly the way we wanted it. It's going to be a beautiful piece out there, and I'm honored to be a part of it. And it's just really neat to see all the projects going on around the city by with volunteer support, and neat to be a part of what a great city we live in to have the people in such a small town be able to do so much around the city. It's really neat. And I'm excited to be a part of this, and look forward to see it get it going and get it completed.
Considered to be routine and non-controversial by city staff and will be approved by one motion if no member of the council or public wishes to comment or ask questions. Is there any council member that wishes to pull anything? Is there any member of the public that wishes to pull anything? If not, I'll bring it back for a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Kelly?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is updates from the city manager.
Mayor and Council, thank you very much. We'd like to start with an update, the latest on our historic City Hall from Dan Huff. Catch us up on just where we are in the construction project. I don't think I have slides tonight.
I've got a couple. As you can see, we're finally rebuilding the project rather than taking it apart. It's been really fun to finally start putting finishes on. So what you're seeing right there is a mock-up of the masonry going back on the upper rotunda drum. If you remember, we had the tent over the rotunda, basically took it all apart and rebuilt it. So now we're reinstalling masonry. In order to get this going, we had to do a mock-up panel on one of the sides. And when we do that, we want to check the mixture of new and used brick. We've got about 25% new brick and 75% old brick. And then we also go through and work out the new structural details, look at the flashings, and make sure everything's going to fit, work out the bugs, which we did have some. The first panel took quite a while to do, but if you've been watching the construction progress, it's really picked up, and we're about 70% done now with that mason around the upper rotunda. Yeah. And you've probably noticed that we're getting a roof back on. The upper rotunda roof is dried in, has been for several weeks now, but the tricky part is getting that tile back on. Here again, we had to match existing tiles, did a similar mock-up, had to put a piece together, work out the counter flashing and flashing details, and install, make sure we have the right color mix. I have to stand back and look, but I think if you go out and look at that, you should be really proud of what this is turning into. We're really happy with it. We're going to be putting back the Renaissance style balustrades all the way around the building, and that's our kind of the approved pieces that we're going into fabrication with. Sometime around, I think, November 1st, we're going to get our first batch. We'll do a full-on mock-up of one complete piece cleaned up and see how all that's going to fit, because we've come across, it seemed like everything we touch, we come across a need to revise the detail, do something a little different. So we'll be testing out how we think it's going to go together, and once that's done, around the 1st of December, we'll go full steam on reinstalling the balustrades. This next photo is really cool. If you remember, one of the ad alternates to the bid way back was decorative ceiling paint in the lower rotunda. This is our mock-up of what that's going to look like. Might go to the next slide, too. It's just going to be brilliant. You go in there, this is just a small piece of what it's going to look like, but the way it's shaping up, it's just going to be, I don't know, just wonderful, stunning is a good way to describe it. The next shot, or just kind of give you an overview. We've got the scaffolding. Where we're headed now is going ahead and getting the roof complete. We'll be dropping the scaffold down once that upper masonry's done. Our big goal is to get the rest of the roof done so that we can rule out any water intrusion. We're doing some water testing. We will probably start some drywall in the basement and first story, probably about 3 weeks, because next week we're starting drywall in the upper rotunda because that is dried in. So it's really wonderful to start moving toward the finish stages of the project and start getting an inkling what this is going to look like. I think once you start getting closer and start seeing what it's going to look like, this is going to be a jewel in the Central Coast once again. Just a little word on budget. Currently, we're about 70% complete with the construction. Through September, we've had about 7.6% in change orders relative to the total base bid of all the prime contracts, which is really good where we're at in this stage of the job. And knowing all the unforeseen structural issues and different, let me just note that we did have a 20% budget for contingencies, and typically on a historical building, I'm told by our architect that they allow 25%. We're going to be way under that, and we're really, really happy about that. And it's really nice to know that the foundation is complete. We did have some change on that. We had some extra pile lengths that we had to go deeper to bedrock, but that was a very risky operation, getting our foundation structure in, getting out of the ground, and very pleased that that turned out as well as it did. So, as I said, we're working toward dropping that scaffold, the upper scaffold, getting our roof done. We'll be starting the deferred maintenance, and there's some brick repair on the lower scaffold. Probably in January, we'll see that starting to drop, and you're really going to see a different picture out there. But we are on schedule, and we're on budget. I couldn't be happier with the way the building's going, with the way the construction's going, and all the support that we have at staff, and we've got a great team of contractors. Everybody's working well together, and we just want to have more of the same. So.
Thank you, Dan. It's a job well done, and I think we're all waiting to see the inside from those mock-ups that you had. Is truly going to be fantastic.
It's going to be spectacular.
Great. Thank you again for doing a good job for us.
Thank you.
Jerry?
I was just curious if you're still eating in them great Atascadero restaurants.
Absolutely. Every day. We have our route that we follow. But
When will the roof be finished? We're getting in the rainy season here pretty quick.
Yeah, this is dried in already. We'll be dropping that scaffold on the upper part toward the end of October. There's a lot of work that we have to do on the roof down below that. There's some structural pieces and some tie-in, but the actual roof, we're looking toward by Thanksgiving, which is we're making a run for it. There's a lot of work to do there. Yeah. In the meantime, we're going to take some temporary measures where we need to. As I said, we're starting drywall. Let's see, the rotunda drywall starting next week. It'll be 3 or 4 weeks, but toward the end of October, we're going to start in the basement and work top up. We're ready for drywall in the basement. By the end of next week, we're ready to cover up first floor. So we're getting all that ready, all of our inspections done, and we'll go bottom up. So we're looking to make sure we mitigate any water intrusion. We're good.
Give some kudos to FEMA. I don't do that often enough, but they have been a wonderful partner throughout this whole project and throughout the disaster. They are a big partner in this, especially as we uncover additional earthquake damage or different details where we're going to have to construct it differently, or there's some different structural things. And they've been excellent about coming up here and working with us and seeing it to see what additional work has to be done and what they have to do. They've also been a big help in telling us what kind of documentation they're going to want for that additional work and that type of stuff. So I wanted to thank FEMA. They've been a great partner, and we've been working well with them. We've also been working with them on their response to the OIG review. As you remember, in April, the OIG issued a review of the City Hall project, along with a couple of other Atascadero projects. We've been working with FEMA through the process. It is a review of FEMA's decisions on our projects. We've been working with them to get them the information that they need so that they can respond to OIG and so that they can have enough support for their decisions when confronting OIG. So we continue to work through that. It's a long, involved process. As soon as we have some final determinations or information on that, we'll go ahead and bring that back to council. But overall, mainly I just want to say thank you, FEMA. They've been a great partner in this disaster.
Thank you for the update. And Dan, thank you for your update. As we near completion, maybe we can have a few more of these. Keep the community updated. Great. Thank you.
A couple more items. Just to let you know, the Mission Oaks project has a new owner now. Reed Investments has purchased the Mission Oaks Center where Grocery Outlet is. They're based out of Berkeley. One of the great news items is that Big Five has signed on for another for a new 5-year term on their lease. So that's really good news. The stores continue to do really good in that center. And on the hotel front, that project's moving along very well. This Thursday it'll be at the Design Review Committee, and then we'll follow up the Planning Commission, and you'll probably see it back with the agreements on October 23rd. So that project's moving really, really well. And then a project we told you about or talked about at strategic planning to keep our social media and technology in the forefront is this Nextdoor program that we're trying to create for neighborhoods.
And you would log into it here, and this is what you would see. You would log in to the left. People, you can see here, you could type your name and address and city and check availability. And of course, it would show you that Atascadero was involved, and it would enroll you in the appropriate neighborhood, and I'll get to that in just a minute. So this is what the front page would look like when you log into Nextdoor. What does Nextdoor do? So I said it's a combination of Facebook and Angie's List, Craigslist. This is an example of some people who have used Nextdoor well in their community. I know you can't read these, but I'm going to show you a few of these. This neighborhood has used Nextdoor to come together for parties and social events, pumpkin carving contests, that sort of thing. This individual here used Nextdoor to find a lost pet. They put a notice on Nextdoor saying, "I lost my dog. It looks like this. Have you seen it in the neighborhood?" And several emails came in saying, "It's in my backyard." And so this is how Nextdoor could work for our residents. This individual, this couple used it as a safety and security measure. There's an elderly woman home alone, and they use Nextdoor to check in on her and keep an eye on her. Has anybody seen her lately? That sort of thing. And so these are the kind of measures that Nextdoor can really do to open up using technology to encourage neighborhood development and community closeness. And so in the next slide here, you can see this shows that the city can also use Nextdoor. So Nextdoor provides an entity for neighbors to communicate with one another, but Nextdoor also provides a venue for us to communicate with your residents. And this is very powerful. So, for example, in one of the neighborhoods, and I'll show you those in just a minute, if we're going to have road construction or road work, we can send a message to all Nextdoor members saying, "San Gabriel Road will be under construction for the next 3 days. Please try and limit use, or it is closed from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. or 7 a.m. to, if there's a safety issue and we're looking for someone, you can do a be on the lookout for a person that looks like and send that to a neighborhood. If we want to promote something great going on in the community, see the new bocce courts at the community center, we can send to all members of Nextdoor regardless of the neighborhood they're in. And so this is a direct way for you to communicate to people who have already said they want to be engaged by virtue of signing up for this. And so it's a very powerful tool. One thing about that, we can communicate to all neighborhoods. We cannot see the communication going on in neighborhoods. That's private to that neighborhood. And so when I show you those again, we would not be able to look and see the messages on the cats or what Joe is saying to Mary or vice versa, but we can definitely send messages to them. And so there's this, there's a private and safe, secure messaging between residents. This isn't a way that we can see that, but we can definitely broadcast safety information, which is a very powerful and cost-effective tool for you. City to communicate with the residents and the residents to interact with one another, as some of the ways we've talked about earlier.
What's the cost?
I'm getting there. I'm building you up for a good sale, but since you already asked, I'll just tell you, this is free. So this is something we came across. This is ultimately what Nextdoor will do is somehow they'll try and incorporate local advertising into this as a financial way to support this. This has been supported by venture capital, and they're trying to build the cities and build the neighborhoods now. And then ultimately, our local businesses could advertise on this. Hey, hungry, if like Facebook, it'd be similar if you're talking about hamburgers or places to eat and putting reviews up, those restaurants likely would want to connect the advertising through that. So that's how it might ultimately be. But it's free for us. This is an example. This is the neighborhoods that we've collected, started with. And so we wanted to make it very simple for residents. And so we basically did just the mind of its own. You can see we have using 101 north and south and 41 east-west. And so we have the San Benito neighborhood. We tried to name it to the schools, so there's some kind of connect. The San Gabriel neighborhood, Paloma Pine Mountain, is south and east of 101 and 41, and then the Monterey neighborhood is most of the west side. So we're starting with these neighborhoods big. As the neighborhoods get more and more membership, people can self-segregate into smaller neighborhoods. So some of our the lakes, for example, might become a neighborhood on its own, and I think that would be making a more personal, more effective product for that neighborhood. But for now, we're starting with these four broad neighborhoods just to get people involved. Let me show you how it works and what it does, and then I'll wrap up with a few key points.
Maybe I'll make it up. This is a really good video. Let me see what you're doing.
Have you ever wanted to borrow a ladder, find someone to mow your lawn, or learn when local road repairs will wrap up? There are so many ways our neighbors can help us. But these days, most people don't know their neighbors or how best to contact them. It's difficult to ask for help and advice without being a bother. Nextdoor changes all that with free and private neighborhood websites that make it easy for neighbors to connect and talk about the issues that matter. It's an online place where you and your neighbors can ask questions. Stay in your website, where all members must verify that they live in the neighborhood. You can be confident that your communications stay within a trusted environment designed just for you and your neighbors. Getting started is easy. With just a few clicks, you can get up and running with Nextdoor for your neighborhood. As your neighbors join the website, you build a stronger and safer neighborhood. When neighbors start talking, everyone benefits. To get a Nextdoor website for your neighborhood, go to Nextdoor.com.
So just a few closing comments. Again, this is, I think, a real powerful tool for our community. When you want to join, you join, and you will verify your address. You need to live here. So someone from Morro Bay can't join our next door. You're actually either called at home, sent a postcard, or billed a penny on your credit card to verify your address, and the penny's returned. So there's several ways in which you verify your address. It's up to you which you choose. This is a self-selected thing, so people can choose to do next door or not. This is just an option for our residents. And when we send these out, once you're in Nextdoor, if you choose to do it, you can invite your neighbors. And that's how this becomes kind of viral, in that sense that if I were joining in my neighborhood, then I would tell my neighbors about it, and I would actually type on my Nextdoor, you should invite these folks, and then the company sends postcards to them saying, hey, you've been recommended by your neighbor to join Nextdoor. And so as the community fills into this, it'll become a very powerful, powerful tool for us. Finally, I mentioned it was free. Why are we doing this? This is, again, a great resource. It's a great public information tool. It's a great way to promote. Promotion is very important to the council, and so this is a great way to do that. It eventually could be a great economic development tool as our local businesses start utilizing Nextdoor to encourage people to eat local, eat here, poster specials, that sort of thing. And so we think that's very positive. And, again, I think it will really help hopefully build community. So you may have a lot of questions on Nextdoor. I'd be happy to answer those.
Well, nothing's free except the 4th of July celebration. So how do they pay for it then?
So what they've done, they have this, it's a private business that's raised venture capital. So people have invested in this company, hoping this idea will take off, like many, many tech companies. And their goal is, once they have enough users and neighborhoods and cities using Nextdoor, and several are picking it up, then again, their goal would be to sell advertising through the system. So when you're using Nextdoor, you'd have, just like Facebook, a column on the right that would have need a burger or want a new pair of shoes. And based on conversations that were occurring, there'd probably be logarithms in the system that would monitor those. And then, so if you're talking to your neighbor about eating, the next time you log in, there's going to be a task at our restaurants, will be the ad on the right.
What about viruses and all that stuff?
So this is used through your web browser. So you don't download anything, much like reviewing a website. This would be the same way. It doesn't download to your computer. There isn't software that you install. And so you shouldn't have worry. You would not be asked to download anything from the Nextdoor site.
I see. Thank you.
In terms of promotions, let's say someone's coming to a Atascadero from outside the area. Would they be able to access this even though they don't have a local address?
No. So this is only for residents of the community. And you have to be verified, and then you... Now, consequently, if someone's on here that shouldn't be on here, you can report that person and they'll be taken off the system. I didn't say that.
So the advertising that's done for restaurants and other things can't be publicly disseminated somehow?
That would be a different tool. So this is really just for, it's a user community of our neighbors who choose to participate in this. So if for a while, what you're hitting on is the scope of the program will be limited until we grow it and have more residents involved. But no, that's a different type. I think for that we have our Facebook page, and we would use that, and everybody can access that and see what the city's promoting through that.
Okay, and it would seem that it would be a good application maybe for disasters, if there were a fire coming your way or whatever.
Absolutely.
It may be.
Absolutely, and several cities have used this for that purpose, and that's why we're starting with four large neighborhoods, but I believe as this we promote this and people join and the neighborhoods shrink a bit, you'll be more specific as far as evacuations or other notices. It's a great use for it.
Thank you.
I have a question. Is there a mobile app for this? Speaking of safety, if you happen to be out, you see something, you know, for your iPhone, Android, whatever, is it set up for that?
We understand this can be accessed through a smartphone. Yes.
Excellent. That's a great idea. I mean, just the fact of being able to connect people who we don't really get to see our neighbors all that often. We're in, you know, such busy, you know, lives, it seems like. And then for safety, for economic development, I mean, it seems like a great tool.
Great. And I would encourage nextdoor.com, nextdoor.com, for members of the community or the council. If you want to see more of this, there's other videos, there's testimonials, so people can really see how this could work in the community.
Is there a part of it where our police department, fire department, and even city staff, where they can override to get information into all of the neighborhoods?
Yes.
Not being a homeowner?
Yes. So we have a master account. We will have one from the city manager's office and also from police and fire departments for safety. And it'll actually show an icon, Atascadero Police, Atascadero Fire, or city manager's office. And that's how we'll control the releases of information. We can send to all neighborhoods, two neighborhoods, one neighborhood. We can control that messaging.
Great. Thank you. Are there any other questions? Sounds like a good program. Good job.
Okay, great. And then I had one other announcement not related to Nextdoor. As part of your economic development efforts, the Office of Economic Development has partnered with Rabobank for a small business workshop being held here tomorrow. And the workshop will be from 5:30 to 7:30 in the council chamber right here. And we're really focusing on helping small business find capital and have access to loans and other resources that will help their business grow. And so I'll be here tomorrow. Rabobank will be speaking about some of their loan programs. I will be speaking about the tools for business success. Those are business tools. Talk about writing business plans, SCORE, business assistance, access to SBA loans. And then Israel Dominguez, the Director of Business and Entrepreneurship at Cuesta College, will also be speaking about accessing capital and finding lending partners. And so this should be a great workshop. So if you own a small business or are interested, you're looking for capital, hopefully there'll be some good speakers and information shared tomorrow. And that's at 5:30 here in the council chamber.
Great. Thank you, Jim. Anything else, Wade?
No, that's enough for one night.
Okay. Thank you. Next on the agenda is the community forum. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons wanting to address the council on any matter not on this agenda and over which the council has jurisdiction. Speakers will be limited to 3 minutes. Please approach the podium and state your name, please. Mitch, you're it.
No invocation tonight?
I'm in. I was going to wait till the very end. I kind of dozed off there just for a moment. Yeah. That was not the redhead. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Good evening. My name is Mike Casey, and I am a part of the Ministerial Association, and I had a group of men meet a few weeks ago, and we had Chief Haley come and speak. We're all very fortunate to have him. He spoke very well of our community and informed us of many things. In fact, several of the men were talking about it for the last few weeks. Every time I run into somebody, they would mention Chief Haley and some of the issues and wonderful things that are going on. But the interesting thing was he spoke so well of all of you. So I think I know who I'll be voting for again this year. But no, he had wonderful things to say, some things that we didn't know about certain ones of you, and just spoke so highly of you. And he feels very fortunate to be here. I do too. But I am thankful to the Lord that we have a man like this at the helm of our police department. And you were wise in choosing him, and thank you. But I wanted to pray for all of you. I was going to wait until everybody. Usually I run up here and try to be the first one, but I was going to wait and be the last one today, but you caught me. We just want to pray for you. I represent many churches in the area, which represents many people. And we pray for you all the time and lift you up to the Lord. And so we feel it's an honor to be able to come before you tonight. After the things that are going on in our world, we feel very fortunate that we're able to come and worship in any way we feel free in a country like this. And we have brave men and women protecting us. And I'm so thankful for that. And also here at home with our police and fire department and those emergency services folks that take care of us. And so I want to thank the Lord for that. So let's bow for those of you who want to and lift our hearts to him. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for these men and women that serve us. And we ask that you would continue to give them wisdom. We thank you that they are servants not only of our community but of you, Lord. And they come out and do serve you in so many different ways. We've heard of the volunteers. I know we volunteer often in our church. We've volunteered working at Bochi and all over in the parks. And you've just allowed us, Lord, to work with some wonderful people, and they're represented here tonight. And so continue, Lord, to bless them, to give them wisdom. And again, thank you for the community that we live in. We ask that for our police and fire department, those who are represented here tonight that serve us in those times when we especially need them. Lord, keep them safe. And we thank you for men and women, again, that love this community and love you and seek to serve the men and women of the people of Atascadero. And so, Father, again, we lift them to your throne and thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for your kind words.
Quickly, I was a little late today.
Give them to Marsha, please.
I'm on the clock. Good evening. My name is Mitch Paskin, as you know, and I live in 3F Meadows, San Marcos Road. This is my third request from the city, and especially from the city council, who are elected to represent the people of Atascadero. Again, I'm asking for an answer, yes or no. If you'll help me pay for a report to evaluate the safety of 3F Meadows and around Oak Ridge State Project. I still haven't received anything. I think I deserve at least an answer. But that's not what I'm here to hear today, tonight. I'm actually here to talk about the intersection of SR 41 and Los Altos Road in that packet that I gave you. Which you can obviously, I'd like you to look at your own time, please. The first couple of pages are from the EIR, and I've delineated the pages where the intersection is mentioned. The next one's from the PD-11, where the off-site requirements are listed, and then there was a performance agreement signed in 2003 between the city and Darren Shetler and Castle Rock. And in that performance agreement, it says the developer promises to install and complete, at developer's own expense, certain public improvements required by the city in connection with the project. And this references the on-site and the off-site improvements delineated in the PD-11. The performance agreement also states that the city can complete the upgrades and change and charge the developer for the improvements. The agreement reads, city shall be entitled to all remedies available to its pursuant
pursuant to this agreement and law in the event of delinquency by the developer. So this performance agreement allows the city to complete that intersection, charge back to the developer. It's been overdue for 6 years. And it's fairly clear in the performance agreement that it was 3 years after the first permit was issued. Now, the city has changed the nature of the project in that the phases, if I am understanding things correctly, have been eliminated, and the developer will be allowed to build all the roads and infrastructure, okay, before that intersection has to be updated. So you're going to have people living at Oak Ridge Estates. You're going to have people driving from both sides of San Marcos Road, dealing with that intersection with 80,000-pound trucks carrying asphalt, road base, sand for the utility trenches. Okay? It's going to get very bad. So I'm asking the city to take the initiative, update that intersection as delineated. You've tried to downgrade it twice, and it's failed. Obviously, hopefully, it will stay the way it is. You represent, you know, it's of the people, by the people, and for the people. You represent the people and the people's safety.
Right.
Okay.
Your time's up, Mr. Paskin.
Thank you very much.
We'll look into that and have an update, and we'll, in a future date, have a presentation and try to get things clarified for you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Next speaker, please.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Karen Sturdivant. I'm the Vice President of the Main Street Association. Halloween is coming up, and Main Street is once again going to be having their trick-or-treat night on Entrada. It'll be starting at 5:30. The businesses will be giving out candy to the children who are in costume. We're not going to just be giving it out to anybody. We also have opened it up. Last year, we ran out of candy. The businesses, there were so many children, it was that well attended, even for our first time. We are opening it up to, we've got nonprofits that are going to be showing up and also going to be setting up tables to be giving out generously candy to the children. We've got the Police Association, the Fire Association, Friends of the Library, Historical Society, and others are going to be coming out. And so we are going to be just showing these children and their parents just the generosity of Atascadero. So we also invite this as an open invitation. If anybody else would like to come and give candy out to the children, please contact the Main Street Association, or you can contact me at Robo Bank at the Atascadero branch. We just really would like to do something for the children of Atascadero. There's no charge. We're not doing anything with vendors. This is just a gift to our Atascadero children. So if anybody has any questions, please feel free to contact me. I am available at Robo Bank. Are there any questions?
No. Thank you very much.
Have
another
nice
great
evening.
Effort for Atascadero. Appreciate
you.
It. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Seeing no one approach a podium, we will close the community forum. We're back to the council. There are no public hearings this evening. Next on the agenda is the management report regarding FPPC Form 806. And I believe Marcia will be giving the presentation.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Kelly. This item is about the California Fair Political Practice Commission, and they have lots of different forms that they require officials to fill out. This one is a new form that they are now requiring cities to fill out. And basically, a little history, all cities, but in Atascadero also, the mayor or the council usually appoint individual council members every year to serve on regional committees and boards, such as SLOCOG, IWMA, APCD, things like that. And at the end of your agenda, for those who aren't familiar, at the end of the council agenda is a section called committee reports, and all those committees listed are these committees that they are appointed to. And some of these positions, a few of them, offer compensation to the person for to be there for the meeting, and then they also sometimes offer mileage. Until recently, the FPPC had kind of vague regulations about whether you could appoint yourself or whether the council could appoint someone and receive compensation, but there was no forms to fill out or whatever. So they have recently adopted a new regulation or amended their regulation to say that now that as whether it's a mayor or the council members that are appointing to these positions, that if you get a compensation, the city needs to fill out a new form that they've created called Form 806, and it is attached here on page 19 of your staff report as a sample of it. And that form we have to just fill out saying anyone on the council who is a member of one of these committees that gives a stipend
needs to be listed and how much the stipend is. And it also says that we have to bring it to the council and have you adopt it, and then I'm also supposed to put it on the city's website so the public can see it. Now, since I even created the staff report, like for one example, Councilmember Fonzie is on a board, but she has refused the stipend, so she doesn't receive that income from them. And so they told me, I called them to ask, do I then list someone who's not actually receiving the stipend? And they said, you should, but just list that they're declining it. So I did that. Then just yesterday, I got some new information. I think this is still evolving. They now are saying, I got another document in the mail yesterday saying that if they're declining, you don't have to list them. So you're on there, but because I already put it in there, but they've changed that rule. So anyway, this document is to go on the website so the public knows that you are receiving additional compensation to be on additional boards. So my recommendation, as the FPPC is asking, that you adopt this Form 806 that's attached to this report and direct me to post it on the city's website. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions? I'll open it up to the public. Are there any questions regarding this? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the council for a motion.
I move that the council adopt the FPPC Form 806 and direct the city clerk to post the completed form on the city's website.
Second, please.
I'll second that, and I would also ask that you check with the regional boards that do offer stipends and just confirm. I noticed on the one with SLOCOG that we probably have the wrong box checked and that they only meet like they've in order to reduce costs, they've gone from monthly meetings to six times a year and just have longer meetings. So.
And that's probably my error. When we checked, they said $100 per day for meeting, and we probably assumed that it was once a month, so I'll double check that on how often they meet. And I can change that. I'll, if you want, in your motion, I can amend that form because the box is checked off assuming it's once a month, so I can change that to be accurate.
Confirm with the agencies.
Sure.
Do you need to adjust the motion, or?
No, I'm okay.
Okay, fine. Roll call vote.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Kelly?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Next is council announcements and reports. Does anyone have an announcement or report?
Well, I want to, you know, this neighborhood thing kind of stimulated me a little bit, but we had an exotic cat come to our place. Now, this is obviously a cat from another country, and I'm sure somebody paid a lot of money for it. So if you lost an exotic cat, it looks like a domestic cat, but it isn't, you know. So give old Jerry Clay a call and identify your cat, please. I'm sure you paid some bucks for it.
Anyone else? Fine, thank you. Do we have any committee reports? Jerry, do you have any?
Well, you know, I'm still eating at those restaurants and enjoying every minute of it. And I've said about Macy's, I have a hard time going by there without stopping. And I usually get a big sandwich, and then I take half of it to my son on his job, and it works out great. But great sandwiches there, and a lot of good restaurants. Let's stay in town, folks. Let's spend our money here.
Thank you.
Just wanted to update you on something that may affect the city financially with LAFCO. LAFCO had an annexation request some time ago from the city of Pismo Beach, and they had to sign an indemnification agreement in case there was a lawsuit. They would reimburse LAFCO. Well, the commission denied the annexation. The developer that put in the annexation is putting out a lawsuit against LAFCO, and the city of Pismo Beach has declined to pay the indemnification, so LAFCO's on the hook for attorney's fees. And what I understand is if Pismo doesn't step up and pay this bill, it's coming to all the cities and will be split out equally among the cities that are participating in LAFCO under a joint powers agreement. So I just wanted to give you that heads up that we may be getting a bill for LAFCO, and it'll probably go to court.
Do you know the dollar amount?
At this point, it's in litigation, so depending on how long it is, it'll make a difference. So, no, I don't.
Thank you.
Sorry, it's not good news, but it is what it is. So, that's it.
Right. I have no committee reports.
Well, I'll go ahead with the Integrated Waste Management Authority had its meeting recently, and one thing that we brought up was our concern for our own recycling center that was being closed, and we were able to successfully advocate for support on that, and they are going to continue as we work through with the state of California to make sure we have some alternatives. So that was an important issue. Something that folks are not very clear on, and Supervisor Patterson brought up an issue that Supervisor Meacham, I immediately agreed with him, and Supervisor Meacham joined in. Mr. Patterson brought up that he was concerned that not very many folks in the community realize that the bag ordinance is actually taking place come this October. That hasn't been a lot of promotion about that. And of course that was a concern I raised initially, and so did Frank Meacham, that we did feel that we would have liked to see in a couple of year process more public input and communicating to the public on this. I know that effort has been stepped up. So I did want to just mention one thing that Integrated Waste Management Authority is doing in light of that is they're getting training out to different businesses. And a concern I had, and I raised, as I said I would at our council meeting, that this is applying to some pretty small businesses that we thought would be exempt. And for example, more of those small, like a bait shop. For example, if you happen to sell any food products like milk or something, they're included, and it's pretty expensive for them to implement. So we're trying to work with them. One thing on a lighter note about bags is Integrated Waste Management and other organizations are trying to get some disposable bags out to the community, and each board member was offered a bag of bags. So I have 50 bags to distribute. Frank Meacham declined to take his, and I said, well, I would like to take those and give them to Jerry Clay. So
Thank you. It's nice of you to be thinking about me, Tom. I appreciate it. But what the question I want to ask you is, what's it going to take to revisit the plastic bag ordinance now that we're going to have a different balance on the supervisors in regards to that? What will it take to revisit? Because there's some things that need to be changed. Number one, nobody should be fined $1,000 for, you know, that's ridiculous for violating the bag ordinance, so to speak. I mean, and the other thing is charging 10 cents or more for paper bags is ridiculous, you know, and that ought to be removed. And then also, again, the bag thing should be optional. So if the grocery stores want to do it, and let them have at it. And the ones that don't want to do it, let's stay with the plastic bags. And so what's going to take to revisit it, Tom? You're on there.
Well, I think it may be tougher than you think, Councilman Clay. Though there has been a change in county supervisors, remember there's also been a change in city council members. It's a 13-member board, unlike many of our other regional boards that Roberta and I and Bob sit on, of 12 members. And so it's a mix that may not have changed in majority opinion on some of these items. I'm sure it'll be discussed. There are issues of a statewide effort that may supersede many of our local decisions in any case. So I think it's something we'll be talking about. I did have one other bag idea to give out, though. I won't share any names, but if you're running for city council in San Luis Obispo, folks thought it was a good idea to have their campaign information on a bag. So I just thought it might be a good idea for Bob and Roberta. Just, you know, I don't know that I would help you in a task, Darryl, but
pass this
in
along.
San Luis.
Jerry, maybe you put that in your trash.
Put that. And I guess the point I'd like to make is,
speaking of waste management, that's where these will probably go, okay?
Well, you will need disposable bags, reusable bags, come October 1st. So I think that's good for folks to keep in mind. And we will have our meeting of San Luis Council of Governments and the Regional Transportation Authority coming up. Again, we're moving right ahead with our transportation center right out the door here. Very pleased with that. And I'll report on that next time.
Roberta, did you have a follow-up?
Well, just a question, and perhaps this would be for the city manager. Do we need to revisit the idea that we've kicked around about we want no city cost to go towards enforcement of the bag ordinance? So in other words, if the police department gets a call from Albertsons saying, somebody gave me a plastic bag, we don't really want them to spend our resources enforcing.
I think we understand your message.
Okay, good.
Thank you. Brian?
And no reports.
Thank you. Now we'll bring it back to individual determination or action. Is there any member of the council that has anything? We'll go around the table. Gerald, do you have anything you'd like to bring up? Russ? Warren? Marcia?
Just a reminder of the candidate forum next Wednesday at 6 o'clock here at Council Chambers, hosted by the Chamber.
Thank you. Rochelle? Jim? Wade?
No.
And our silent guest? Thank you. With that, I'll adjourn the city council meeting.